And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This Thursday, January 7th, 2016, started talking and didn't have my on button pressed for the mic, which can cause problems for listeners out there, especially if you like audio. But I want to make an announcement first before we get back to our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Nuts.com. They have the best snacks, dried fruits, nuts, a great variety of healthy, edible food that is just delicious. If you like cashews, if you like pistachios, and then they go branching out from there. Yogurt pretzels, I believe, that my father hides and still haven't tried. I love the almonds. They sell coffee. Eric has taken the almonds, and every time we get a box in, everybody takes their little favorite thing and puts it in their corner of the house, or how much they are enjoyed here. And we want you to have that same snack ability, because we don't have to eat bad. We just have to take our time and find options out there that are not only affordable, but that taste great. And you can't go wrong with dried fruits, and especially all the varieties of nuts at nuts.com. Now, in order to get the special, the microphone... I apologize, my ears are falling out here. I feel like the old man. Nuts.com. You go to nuts.com, microphone code HH. Go to nuts.com, NUTS.com, microphone code HH, to get your discount for the Hagman and Hagman Report. And we recommend it very highly. And I think, what is it, four paws and one fist from Eric. No, it's nuts.com. They have, it's delicious. I would urge everybody to try it and send your feedback to us. We always like to hear what the listeners think of the products. And we love this one a lot, and we are happy to have them as a sponsor. Getting back to our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is his website. A prolific author, great speaker, just a fantastic mind, and always fun to have on the show, and very informative. Paul, where do you want to start this hour? There's a lot of current events that we see. Many are very important in a way that can change the geopolitical landscape, the economic ability of nations, and the ever-growing concern of collapse of power, of economies, and the chaos that would bring.
Yeah.
What do you see for 2016 as the biggest emerging threat?
Yes. 2016 concerns me more than I think any other year that I can think of since I've been alive and involved in ministry and doing what I call prophetic analysis of future events. 2016, to me, at this point, is the most critical year in our history, without question, not only for the U.S., but for Europe and for the world itself, because this is a year of directions are going to be set. And once they're set, they're irreversible, or largely irreversible. So right now we have an economic, the potential of an economic superstorm, which if it happens, at the very least, it will be a repeat of what happened in 2007 and 2008. And somebody asked me the other day, well, how do you know, this is going to happen? Well, see, like you and many of your listeners, I don't get my information from watching the cable news networks and the radio programs and the networks, which are controlled by just six corporations, and those corporations are owned by the elite forces or the international banking families, which control the world. Which brings me to a point that I think I want to, I know I've been talking about it for a long time in my books and documenting it, but I just want to reinforce this principle. And the reason I want to reinforce the principle is that I've noticed that in every person's mind, and that would include my mind, but in every person's mind, there is an innate predisposition to resist certain truths and ideas and certain true concepts. In other words, even though these concepts are very true and these realities are very true, there's something about us as human beings that we're very resistant to it. Now, I have reasons for that, but see, there are truths that are staring us in the face, but the average person will resist that truth and reject that truth, even though it is true. And there are spiritual and psychological principles for it. Now, I'll give you an example. One truth is that, well, here's the primary truth. The primary truth is that this world as we know it, and I'm talking about the power of the world, which would include military power, geopolitical power, economic power, cultural power, social power, power in the realm of science, education, government, politics, film, entertainment, media, whatever, medicine, law. Though all of these power centers, and again, this is hard for some people to grasp, but the only reason they can't grasp it is because they have not done their homework and they have not studied enough. I'm polite to people who challenge me, but when I question them and they've spent 3 minutes researching the subject, I mean, it's kind of hard to take them seriously. I mean, they're very emotional when they disagree with you, but when you probe, they've spent 3 minutes researching the subject. I've spent 37 years. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to take them seriously. Okay.
And that speaks to the effectiveness of the propaganda, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary.
No, that's a good point. And let me just pick up on what you said before I proceed. And that is, the interesting thing about social engineering, which is what most people in America and in Europe are under the influences of social engineering. I'm always reluctant to say scientific mind control because that's too intense for most people, but it's true. Social engineering, propaganda, brainwashing, programming. The average American and average European has been heavily, their thinking has been heavily influenced by propaganda, social engineering, brainwashing, education, and programming. Now, that's why you can have this ridiculous assumption where the average person in America, especially young people, and people who think they're educated, because let's say they went to an Ivy League school or whatever, they all claim to be independent thinkers, and they all claim to be individuals. But the irony is if they're truly individualistic thinkers and independent thinkers, how come they all think the exact same thoughts? I mean, you could go down a list of 150 to 250 key questions on culture, sexuality, politics, economics, or whatever, and for the most part, all 250 of a random sampling of independent, individualistic thinkers, for the most part, would pretty much, with minor variations, agree and have the same thinking and beliefs and attitudes on just about everything. So that in itself is proof of the fact that they're not independent thinkers, because if they were truly independent thinkers, there would be a great diversity of opinions and thoughts. Instead, everybody thinks the same. For example, climate change, which used to be called global warming. The average American, or at least a large percentage, especially in academic circles, they completely believe the mythology that climate change is produced by man-made CO2 emissions, despite the fact that there's no scientific evidence, serious scientific evidence, to support it whatsoever. Now, they'll scream at you if you say that, but again, if you probe them, they have never read a scientific study. They're just repeating what they heard on television. So they all think the same. They all think the same in culture and every other area. So they're not independent thinkers. So the proof of the fact that they're indoctrinated is they maintain the illusion that they're independent individuals, but they all think the same, which is a contradiction and exposes the fact that they're not individuals or independent thinkers at all. They're programmed thinkers. That's why they all think alike. Now, having said that, we have this mythology, which the average person is brainwashed or indoctrinated to believe since early days in school and through the media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do not. They reject the idea that there is some monolithic, all-powerful conspiratorial group. In fact, the word conspiracy to them, if you use the word conspiracy, it always initiates a knee-jerk reaction of laughter. Now, why is that? If you say conspiracy, you can count on automatic laughter and ridicule by most people. Why is that? That's programming. They've been programmed to reject and laugh and scoff at anything that they perceive to be a conspiracy theory, which is really a very sophisticated way of programming people and brainwashing them and keeping their minds away from thinking about anything other than the officially dictated story. So, for example, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're exactly right, and it is not just here in America, but earlier this week, I was getting into a book Brzezinski wrote in 1955, Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy, where he deals with this issue of the propaganda and its role in the totalitarian government system, and they say it creates this peculiar atmosphere in a totalitarian dictatorship that is created by two closely related phenomena, propaganda and terror. And it goes on to say that the characteristics is to intimidate. Government terror seeks to frighten and sway into conformity and obedience. And through the control of the mass media communications, which is, they say, the most striking characteristic of the totalitarian dictatorship, when you have all these together, the terror, the propaganda, and the monopoly, they can reinforce their own agenda, and they can make it up as they go along and change and rewrite history on the back end. And they have done this through countless countries in hundreds of years, to where they're trying to perfect the most efficient form of destructive government.
Right. Now, what you said is a good way to illustrate this. You're quoting from Brzezinski, who's one of the leading intellectuals and architects of what's called the New World Order, and a highly respected man among the Council on Foreign Relations and the global elite, and the author of books and a powerful advocate of the use of psychotronic weapons on the public. And psychotronic weapons, of course, is using technological weapons to control the thinking of people through technology or mind control. So these highly intelligent elitist leaders like Brzezinski, and we could name many others, they openly write in serious papers, in mainstream publications, or in their own books. They openly say what they're doing, why they're doing it, and they hide nothing. Yet you talk to the average person on the street or in a college, they would call you and I conspiracy theorists, but they've never read Brzezinski's words. They've read nothing. They've spent their day watching the cartoon channel or porn or something like that. So on the basis of no evidence, they will laugh at you and I. But you and I could present a library of information from credible mainstream sources where they openly admit their goal is to brainwash the population and to use things like climate change to bring about radical social political transformation. So that's what we're dealing in our country. We're dealing with our country like it's a war of truth and knowledge versus ignorance and being in a trance state. And speaking of trance state, when I say that the average American is in a scientifically induced trance state, people laugh and chuckle. They don't know how to deal with that. because it implies that they're under scientific mind control. But then when you read just Brzezinski alone, he will, in detail, and again, he's a highly respected member of the elite, he will come out in detail in hundreds of pages of his book and talk exactly about what technologies they use designed to keep people in a scientifically induced trance state. In other words, Brzezinski isn't saying that that's a conspiracy theory. He knows it's a reality. It's only the people that are brainwashed that don't know. And so that's what we're dealing with. And it's not just Brzezinski. We could quote so many other credible elite scientists and leaders.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So, but the people don't read it. The people in the media don't read it. If they do read it, they don't admit it. And, of course, it's not allowed to be discussed in the public school system or whatever. So, so that's why we wrote our book, The Babylon Code, which, by the way, despite the fact that it's not a politically correct book, it's the word of mouth on The Babylon Code, which I had the privilege of writing with my co-author Troy Anderson, who is a Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist. So we have plenty of documentation from mainstream sources, but we expose these hidden agendas. We expose the reality of the elite. We expose the reality of Brzezinski and secret societies, and we merge it with Bible prophecy, and we say what's going to happen in 2016 and beyond. And because the documentation is so huge, people are really being set on fire by the book in a way that I really didn't expect. I knew it would be well received. I knew it would do well. I didn't expect from to hear from people that I don't, the kind of readers that I don't normally hear from, that they're like blown away by it, and they read the documentation and they accept it. They've moved beyond the place of rejecting this stuff. So anyway, we have what we call an architecture of evil, that there's this very powerful evil group. We document in that, and I document it in my books like Mass Awakening, which your father wrote the foreword to, and A Prophecy of the Future of America. We document the fact that there exists secret societies, that they're real, they're not fictitious, that are currently controlling the world. They're currently controlling the United States of America, currently controlling Europe. And so when we look at the economic chaos in our world today, the military chaos in our world today, the geopolitical chaos, the social chaos, the societal breakdown, the anti-Christian attitudes, none of these are happening by random chance or terrorism and the explosive growth of ISIS. None of these are happening by chance. They're not happening by accident. They are all part of a very, very strategically conceived plan to bring about planned chaos and over to overthrow what they call the old world order and usher in the new world order. So all the chaos, all the bloodshed, what I want to get across, because even for me, who studies, been studying this stuff for like 38 years, and you know, the hours of research is, you know, off the charts. The thousands of books I read is off the charts. But even me, you know, I have to constantly see it, constantly be re-exposed to new information, read different books, because every time I do, I get more and more pieces of the puzzle. Because you see, when you begin to think in a way that is against the flow of the culture, your mind faces kind of an opposition. But when you really know your stuff, it just strengthens your belief, and you can see it clearer. So I was thinking about this as we entered 2016. I was thinking about the GMO foods and how they're deliberately killing people's lives and giving them diseases. And then I'm saying to myself, well, we have the GMO foods owned by the big food corporations, and yet the government makes all their poisonous food legal. So you have, literally, this is not conspiracy theory. Fortunately, some Americans are starting to wake up to it. But the GMO foods, the genetically modified organisms, are literally killing spreading disease, cancer, and shortening the lifespans of billions of people. And it's being done on purpose. And our government approves this food because they're in on it. And then we take big pharmaceutical companies and how so many of the medicines and drugs and stuff kill people and shorten their lives. They do the exact opposite. Or we talk about, let's look at, for example, notice how the leaders of the Western nations, including the United States and Germany and Sweden and France and the EU, notice how in face of the reality that the fact that these Syrian refugees that are pouring into Europe have a very high percentage of males that are 21 to 25 years old that are soldier age, they have militant Islamic beliefs. They're either from ISIS, trained by ISIS, or highly sympathetic to militant Islamic ISIS beliefs. Right now in Europe, wherever they're being let in, which is in large numbers, they are literally raping massive amounts of European women. They're just raping them like crazy. They're beating up people.
It's so horrific. I mean, and I don't want to get too in detail with this, but I saw a headline about a group of Muslim men who had raped a young child, and they were bragging about it on a video. And they were bragging about it on a video they made. I mean, and I just read the headline. I could not even bring myself to look at the video of these people, you know, boasting this.
Okay, I hadn't heard that, so that this even adds to the problem. So you're talking to me about, and I'm sure it's not an isolated case, you're having these Muslim men, militant Muslim men, coming in from places like Syria, because people are being lied to in Europe, like they're being lied to in the United States, that it's the humanitarian thing to do, and now some young child has been most likely gang raped by a group of men, and these women are being gang raped, and it's brutal. Okay, it's, you know, it's a brutal thing. So, not to count the murders and the men being beaten up and so on and so forth. So you say, you have to ask yourself the question. Obviously, Merkel, the head of Germany, the head of France, and these nations, they are obviously aware of what is happening now that they're allowing the terrorists in. They're fully aware of it. And yet, they continue to accelerate the numbers of terrorists entering the European nations. So at face value, it doesn't appear to be a rational thought, but at deeper inspection, it is. The reason they're doing that is because, to be blunt, they do not care about the number of rapes and attacks on European citizens. They don't care. They don't care that many of these people are terrorists and are going to build bombs and commit terrorist attacks in Europe. And they don't really care about this when it comes into the United States. They don't care, because if they did care, they would shut the borders in Europe and shut the borders in the United States to protect the people. They don't care, and they know what's happening. So people have to move beyond this, well, they don't know what's happening, they're making ignorant decisions. No, they're not making ignorant decisions. They're making deliberate decisions, because the elite that control the world want these migrants in the U.S. and Europe, because they serve a function that benefits the agenda of the elite. And that function is, they're a battering ram to destroy Western European civilization, to break down the social cohesion, to break up any voting bloc, and eventually to establish Sharia law, which is Islamic law. And then Sharia law can be used to smash what is left of Christianity and any basic freedoms the Europeans or Americans might have. So the globalists and the elitists are deliberately flooding America and Europe and other parts of the world with these terrorists, because their goal is to destroy the whatever's left of the sovereign nation state and culture, so that by the use of force, they can create a crisis which will escalate to such a point where the people will literally get down on their hands and knees and beg to have their rights taken away, and they will beg for a police state or a dictatorship to protect them. That is the plan. Now, you'll never hear that discussed on the news networks. You'll never hear that discussed in the media. But to continue to perpetuate this absurd idea that the decisions of all these leaders is always the result of their stupidity or naivety
yeah.
or bad foreign policy is total nonsense. No, they're doing it deliberately.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we've talked about this many times, that the ignorance defense was okay for, you know, one
yeah.
scandal that went bad. But when you see the same pattern over a period of one presidential administration in two terms, and the crimes that have been committed and the lack of accountability, and people in the media chalking it up to, you know, the lack of intelligence and planning, and when in fact it is the strategic planning and exactly what they wanted to do. And it's so bad that in the beginning of the year, we had people in the Middle East who were members of ISIS say, prepare for the invasion
right.
of
right.
Western countries by terrorists. And then we see the influx of the Muslim immigrants, and that's what they're called, immigrants. And everybody forgets that, you know, they said, we're going to come and invade. It's going to be seemingly a population of people who have no home in Syria anymore due to the war. And they do exactly what they said they're going to do. But, you know...
Exactly. And so...
It's craziness.
Yes. And so ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and militant Islam is serving a very important purpose to the globalist elite, who really do exist. Secret societies and a globalist elite or a Luciferian elite. This isn't a mythology. They really do exist. And anybody who is willing to do research can prove it without the shadow of a doubt. In fact, this elite... again, in respected journals, in the books that they write, openly admit who they are. They openly admit to their Luciferian beliefs, and they openly admit to how they're going to achieve their ends. So when people say conspiracy theory, or they shout and yell, they really don't have a leg to stand on, because these people really think that the average person is rather stupid. And so they're willing to do it out in the open. They're not even trying to really hide it. So this is what we're facing, and it's coming to the United States very quickly. So in my
yeah.
book, Mass Awakening, I warn of this. I warn of this in A Prophecy of the Future of America. We warn of it in the Babylon Code. And in Mass Awakening, I talk about, and this is so important for people to read, but I talk about the fact that there will either be a mass dark awakening, an evil awakening, a satanic awakening that erupts out of chaos, mass movements, mass awakenings that erupt out of chaos, but will produce revolutionary changes that are violent and destructive and evil, like in the case of Nazi Germany or communist Russia, that kind of thing. And that's what these people are planning to do, to create a mass awakening that's dark. An example of this would be just today, all over the Drudge Report and other news reports, many groups in reaction to the terrorists coming into Europe, they're calling for the return of Adolf Hitler, openly. They want a new Hitler. Now, that's not happening by accident. That cry of the people for an authoritarian dictatorship to protect them, a strong man, that is pre-planned by the elite. The elite know what levers to pull, what buttons to push in the public. And so we're seeing that, and I warn about that in my book and books, because
yeah.
the same thing is going to is happening in the United States. San Bernardino was a pivotal moment, because you had all those people slaughtered. They were unarmed. And you have this other dynamic, which is also pre-planned. You have in Europe, but you have in the United States, at the same time you have Americans being killed in increasing numbers by terrorist attacks, etc. because they're unarmed and defenseless. You have governments and governmental agencies crying for more and more gun control, even though all the statistics say that that people being killed by guns has gone way down. And if anybody had been in that building in San Bernardino and it was properly armed, you wouldn't have had the massacre. In fact, there was that church in Colorado where this guy went in and started gunning down people like crazy. The reason 5,000 people weren't slaughtered in cold blood in that church in Colorado Springs a number of years ago was because one woman, who I believe was an off-duty female cop, had to happened to have a pistol wrapped around her ankle, and she was a marksman, and she pulled it out, and she shot the assassin to death. Otherwise, 5,000 people would have died. And you can go down the list. The slaughter of innocent Americans in all these situations could have been stopped if somebody had been armed. So the idea of that taking away guns is going to make us safer, that's a lie. It's the exact opposite. In addition, these ideas that the Republicans, of course, are the Republicans work for the same people that the Democrats work for. There's no difference between the two parties. Now, there may be some exceptions. We'll find out if those exceptions are valid. But this idea that, okay, well, we're going to do, and everybody seems to be applauding in the media, because the media, both conservative and liberal, are promoting this. They're saying it's great to have background checks based on people's mental health. Well, you know, there are some cases when people are like totally crazy and murderous and suicidal, where they shouldn't get guns. But once you open that very dicey door to is somebody mentally healthy to have guns, history shows us how that plays out. In the former Soviet Union, they politicized psychiatry. So if you didn't believe in communism and all the tenets of the Communist Party, you were considered mentally ill and crazy. So what we can see easily happening here in the United States is if you don't hold the right politically correct beliefs, the right politically correct religious beliefs and all the other beliefs, then it's not just a matter of fact, a matter of you having a different viewpoint. You are labeled as mentally unstable or mentally ill because you don't, for example, believe in climate change. In fact, a professor of a major university came out and said people who don't believe in climate change are mentally ill. And so if you're a Christian or you don't have politically correct beliefs, then you can be classified as mentally ill, and therefore you can't have a gun. Let's say you take sleeping pills, but you've never committed a crime in your life. You can't have a gun. You've been treated for depression with medication. You can't have a gun. So the next thing you know, you've opened a back door to take away people's Second Amendment rights based on not real psychology or mental health. Mental health is used, as it was in the Soviet Union, as a weapon of control. And so through the back door of so-called mental health, not even mentioning, you know, if a husband and wife are fighting or whatever, and one's a liberal, one's a conservative, somebody can call in and say, oh, you know, take away the guns. So this is very dangerous, because guns are a mechanism of protection from not only burglars, but tyranny.
Absolutely. And I think where you live in California, there was a new law implemented on the 1st where without any judge, jury, a person can state that they believe a person that they know with a gun is dangerous, and the gun can be confiscated from the person without any probable cause or proof that they're unstable or a danger to others. And the gun will be kept from them for at least 21 days.
Right, what is to protect people from so-called anonymous calls or people pretending to be relatives calling in and making all kinds of allegations? I mean, the door is wide open for that.
Yeah.
And so, and in California, you know, if anybody has tried, which I have, called 911 because I thought there was a serious danger. I have never, and I support the police, by the way. I support law enforcement. I support the police. I do support certain gun control measures. but not the kind the kinds that they're talking about. In other words, if you got yourself somebody like the guy who killed John Lennon with these major, serious, you know, and evidence of previous violent behavior or something, I have no problem with restrictions on their access to guns. If they have but if somebody just doesn't happen to believe in global warming, they're not mentally ill. But in California, if you call the police for something, I remember, right, I may have said it in an earlier program, I was in the Hollywood Hills. I lived up on Lookout Mountain, and I hear gunshots. There's a whole bunch of gunshots on the hill above our house. So I called the cops and said, look, there's gunshots going off, a lot of them, and I'm concerned. Can you please send a police officer? They said, has anybody shot or been hurt? I said, not that I know of, but there's gunshots going. They said, well, we can't come until somebody's been shot or hurt. And I've had to call 911 over the years because I thought somebody was breaking into my house or whatever. Hey, guess what? They never show up. They show up 2 hours later. That's the norm in California. I don't know what it's like in the rest of the nation. So if that's the norm in California, and you're a single mother or a single woman or an elderly person, and you think somebody's breaking into your house, and the cops come 2 hours later, you're dead, man, or you're raped, and that's it. You have no way of protecting yourself.
And you make a great point that police are not to be involved until a crime has already been committed, and you know they say protect and serve, and that's after the fact. And you see that so often that people who own guns, who are maybe home at the right time or at the right place at the right time, have stopped people with guns bent on creating mass destruction. You know, those stories always get swept under the rug. And the media, who helps push for this gun control, forgets to mention that murder happened forever before guns were invented and will continue to happen whether there are guns or not. And it's just this big disconnect, and you referred to it earlier, as the people are conditioned and rocked to sleep mentally through, you know, subtle hypnosis and conformity with fear of being ostracized for being different or, you know, seeing the truth and calling it what it is. People are just paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by indifference, and it is getting to a point where it's going to, you know, their indifference will be the reason why they will be least likely to survive. And it's sad because people have the ability, people have the mental capacity. It's just that it's not utilized because they, being the educational system and political system, media, have learned how to suppress it and make you almost ashamed of having your own opinion.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's just so backwards and upside down.
Now, what I'm about to say, I'm not endorsing a political candidate. I'm not endorsing Trump. I haven't made up my mind who I'm going to vote for president yet. I mean that. I haven't made up my mind because I'm still doing research and probably won't make up my mind until closer to the election. But Trump said something interesting regarding Hillary Clinton's thing about how she's going to take away guns because guns cause, violence and don't protect people. And Trump fired back to her, well, then if guns don't protect people, then why don't you have your bodyguards get rid of their guns? And see, mm-hmm. What we have in California is we have a lot of affluent people, a lot of people in the entertainment business, and a lot of other people who are affluent who have... they can afford to have armed guards who have guns. So they're the ones financing all this gun control stuff, but they're protected because they can afford to have armed bodyguards. So the people who can't afford armed bodyguards, let's say somebody who, you know, there's a lot of really nice people who live in ghetto neighborhoods, and their windows are all barred up and everything else, and some of these people are elderly or whatever, and if somebody breaks in their house, the police aren't going to show up to help them. They need to be able to protect themselves. But these people are very cold. They don't care if these people get killed. Now, the other thing...
Like, go ahead. Climate, the global warming, the people who are pushing and these speeches telling you need to reduce your carbon footprint are flying from city to city in 747s, you know, by themselves, just, you know, careless of how they distribute their carbon, or, you know, they're just worried about controlling yours or making you feel bad through their messages. But they, you know, say one thing and act a completely different way. And
well, you're right. The amount of movie stars, people like Al Gore in the entertainment business, the amount of high level, big time executives and CEOs who are promoting, you know, changes. They want us to reduce using our energy through global warming. They are energy pigs. They fly in massive jets. They have they waste energy like crazy. And so it's just complete hypocrisy. And then the other thing is that because of what's going on in the United States right now, especially with this, I'm not talking about all Muslims. I'm talking about militant Islamic extremists. Every church, every synagogue, every public gathering, every movie theater, every school is a target. And if you don't have somebody who's trained and can protect those institutions, then you're endangering all of their lives because the police can't get there in time.
Now, as you say this and explain this, Paul, and I'm sorry for interrupting,
sure.
But our technician just gave us a info across the screen. CNN.com right now is broadcasting Obama Live. And as we speak, he is talking about tighter gun measures and in a town hall type of event. And he said many times when Congress fails to act, or when he perceives Congress has failed to act, he's going to use his power, which is illegitimate in the sense that he's using it, but people don't call him on it, of executive authority to change the laws himself. And that's just a dictator. At this point, right?
Well, here's the interesting thing. He has Secret Servicemen and all kinds of armed guards. His children have armed guards. He does. His wife has armed guards. What about all the people living in the ghettos of all kinds of racial groups that can't afford armed guards?
Well, that's why they're gun-free zones.
Right. You know? I mean, they're targets, and they're going to be killed innocently. Because, you know, this is an old adage, but it just happens to be true. When you outlaw guns, the only people who have guns are criminals. I mean, it's been said, mm-hmm. and some people might think it's corny, but it's true. The criminals, they don't care whether drugs or guns are legal. They all have them. So you are forcing society to move into the place where innocent, law-abiding, tax-paying, honest citizens are going to be victimized by criminals who won't bother to get a background check or anything else. They'll have illegal guns, and they're going to come into people's houses, and the more they know people don't have guns, the more they're going to break in and shoot, kill, rob, and destroy. It's horrendous. You know, when you go to Israel, and you go, for example, by where the Temple Mount is, and all of the areas of Israel, the airport or whatever, you will see thousands of Israeli soldiers everywhere, and they're usually college-age male and female. You know, it's mandatory for every female and male of a certain age, and they're young men and women. They have to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces, and they patrol shops and tourist places. And they carry, you know, military weapons, and they were dressed in combat fatigues. And there's no sense of martial law. They have no bullying attitude. They're constantly surveying the crowd for a problem. They're to protect people. And you don't feel like you're in a police state. There isn't that arrogance. They're incredibly polite and courteous. And because of that, Israel is largely an extremely safe place, because there's this attitude by the government that our army is there to serve the public, We don't seem to have that attitude in the United States. You know, there's this militarization of the police and soldiers coming into the streets, but the attitude, and black people experience this, white people experience this, Latinos experience this, and again, I'm for law enforcement, but when you militarize the police and you send in troops, they come in, you know, whether they mean it or not, they come in with a very bullying, Gestapo-like, throw you down, smack you in the head with a butt of a rifle, maybe shoot you first, and then ask questions later. And that mentality is very dangerous. That's turning America into a dictatorship, and that comes right from the top. There's no accountability. Speaking of which, I am... I want to let your listeners know I'm leading a tour, a Passover and Israel tour to Israel, and we're going April 17th to 28th, and it will be 12 days. We'll be going different places in Israel. I'll be teaching at the various sites from the Bible and explaining it specifically through the lens of Bible prophecy, but... this tour, I kind of call this tour a supernatural tour of Israel, because I'm asking people to come who feel like a divine assignment from God to come to Israel. And we're going to pray at key areas. We're going to pray over the Middle East. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so I think it's going to be, I know it's going to be a kind of a supernatural encounter with the land of Israel. And if people have never been to Israel before, talk about making your faith come alive. I wanted to encourage them to join us, or at the least go to my website, paulmaguire.us, and find out about the Passover in Israel with Paul Maguire tour coming up April 17th to 28th. And the reason I know we're going to be safe is because I've been to Israel, and you have people with guns who are polite and servant-like, really taking their job seriously, and they're constantly looking out to protect you. You know, we have some great police and law enforcement in the United States, but I've also met some that when you give them the big cars and the big guns, you know, again, I'm not knocking all of them, but there's this kind of arrogance out there, you know. You don't see that in Israel. You don't see people smashing down the doors of innocent taxpaying citizens. And we're seeing that more and more, and that's that goes along with the taking away of guns. It's an attitude that the people are it's supposed to be we the people in America, but now the people are being treated as if they were slaves to the state, and it's an attitude generated by our elected representatives, and it's it used to be that people who worked for government. My father was a teacher, and he always called himself a civil servant. But this idea of people in government acting as civil servants is gone. They're acting like our masters. It's a very dangerous trend. And at least at this time, you don't see it in Israel. So.
And I would hope one day I'd get a chance to go to Israel. If I ever get a chance to fly across the Atlantic, that would be the first place I would want to go. And I think that's fantastic that you are leading a group of people there. And, you know, the first Prophecy in the News conference that me and my father attended, we met Avi Lipkin, and he was, you know, taking people to Israel. And I remember seeing all his maps and the plans that they had for the trip and just wishing, you know, one day I could get to go there. And I bet it is a spiritual experience as much as it is a physical experience, because you're actually walking through all the areas that are described in great detail in the Bible that have been the center of civilization from the beginning, and the beginning and end of God's plan on earth. And it's got to be special. And
it is special, and almost everybody I've ever talked to, including myself, who's gone to Israel, especially, many people go many times, but especially people who go their first or second or third time, they say the experience changes their lives forever. And I think the reason for that is that all the stories you read in the Bible suddenly come to dramatic life when you're standing there in the middle of them. like when I was standing at the by the Temple Mount where the Wailing Wall is, I had it was not an emotional spiritual experience, but I had this a distinct sense that I was standing in the center of planet Earth, and this was like the city of God, because it was weird. On one hand, you had all these Jews, these Orthodox Jews, you had all these Christians there, then you had the Muslims with their Temple Mount, you had the young Israeli soldiers with the guns to protect everybody, but it was like this conflict was there. You could just feel it. I saw the United Nations cars all over the place, but at the same time, it was like the Lord said to me, "This is how it is supposed to be now. It's exactly how He prophesied that it would be." This is where a lot of Christians don't have their theology straight regarding the Jews. The ancient Hebrew prophet said that the Jews are supposed to come back into the land in a condition of unbelief. So you have people shouting and screaming, well, they don't deserve the land because they're in unbelief or in immorality or whatever, but then they don't read the Bible. That's the whole point. The Jews come back mm-hmm. after 2,000 years of dispersion in a spiritual state of unbelief. That's what it prophesies. So when you see unbelieving Jews in Israel, you shouldn't be saying, oh, they don't belong there. No, that's what God said would happen. It's only as Bible prophecy unfolds and the Jews move through what's called the time of Jacob's trouble, that, and they make a very bad deal with the Antichrist, that the scales fall from their eyes, and there's a powerful revival in Israel where they begin to see Jesus as their Messiah for the first time. And I will explain that in detail, and the reason for that will be where Armageddon is going to take place and where Jesus performed miracles. But when you understand that, then you understand that everything is as it's supposed to be in Israel, and we're on the verge of prophecy being fulfilled. And then in other things, we're going to go to the places where Jesus healed, but instead of me just teaching from the Bible and talking about it, which I will, we're going to pray for people, and I believe God's going to supernaturally heal people in Israel as we pray where Jesus prayed for people. I believe that people who want to be baptized, we're going to baptize them, and they're going to experience. This is not going to be a dry theological tour. We're going to teach the Bible and Bible prophecy, but there is going to be a supernatural element to this tour, and again, we're looking for people who feel the call of the Holy Spirit, feel a divine call to come, because I believe we have a divine assignment there. And I don't really want to talk about what the divine assignment is too much publicly, but I believe we're there for a spiritual reason, and that is to change the spiritual dynamic of what's happening in the invisible realm, in the same way that we as Christians right now, as we're going into 2016, are called to change the spiritual dynamic of what's going on in the invisible realm. Because you and I opened the show talking about angels. And as you know, the Bible talks about fallen angels and God's angels. And so when Daniel has the vision of the end of time, he had to battle these powerful territorial spirits, the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece, over the Middle East. These are high-level angels that had to be put in their place through fasting and prayer. And then the archangel from God, Michael, and Gabriel had to overcome the Prince of Persia. So in the same way...
Hold on, Paul.
Yeah, okay.
We're at the top of the hour break, but you are getting into something that I really wanted to talk about most importantly, is the spiritual realm and something being in the air. Some changes in a dark way, and I'd like to get your opinion on this on the other side. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report with Paul McGuire. His website... PaulMcGuire.us. Check it out. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.